Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
As you take your Bible, turn to Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. We're going to look at God's inspired Word. We're going to look at the oracles of a wise man. And we're going to pick something out of there. We're going to talk about today. As you're turning there, those of you who came to the dinner last night want to tell you thanks again. I keep hearing reports this morning of the evening you had that the youth ministry hosted and that you had a wonderful time. I just want to say thanks. It was a great evening of fellowship and visiting together and being friends over some good food and some great entertainment, and so I want to tell you thanks for sponsoring our youth ministry last night. Proverbs chapter 30, we're going to read verse 18 and 19, but before I read it, you know, we know Proverbs is a book that we call a book of wisdom, and It certainly is. It is a book of what they call lower wisdom. Not that it's lesser. Lower wisdom just has to do with the practices of living, the practical things of life. And as you go through Proverbs, you'll see one verse, and the next verse can talk about something completely different, and yet somehow it's all tied together in wisdom for us. And as we look at Proverbs 30, this oracle, this God-breathed wisdom to us through a man. He states things like, these are the things that are amazing to me. Now, this is a wise person speaking. These things are amazing to me. These things are too great for me to understand. These things are so stately. And it goes through that. And I would encourage you to read Proverbs 30. But I want us to look at verse 18 and 19. This wise man, now this is not a simpleton, this is a man who is wise, who fears the Lord, and he says, there are three things that are too amazing for me. A wise man who says it's too amazing, it's too great for me to understand, I can't quite figure it out, but it happens, and it works, and it's just, I can look at these things, I can see these things before my eyes, but I can't quite figure it all out. And he says, these are the three things. No, there's a fourth that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky. Have you ever seen that? Of course you have. I see them around here periodically. How about you? Yeah? And you look at that bird and the size of that bird, and it does not flap its wings, and it just glides, coasts, carrying the air current. Now, this is not some little, you know, canary. This is a large bird, and I just look at that, and I think, yeah, I know they explain it. Here's the bird, and, you know, and the way the wings are shaped and the air currents. And all. I mean, I get that up here, but to watch that and see that, if I take time to, you know, stop in life and smell the flowers along the way, it's amazing. I don't get it. I don't understand how that works. I mean, you can explain it to me, and I hear you, and I'm not the smartest guy, but, you know, if you do it in layman's terms, I understand what you're saying, but then when I look at it, I don't get it. It is. It's amazing. This wise man says, the way of a snake on a rock. I mean, I don't take a lot of time to look at snakes because I'm not a real fan of snakes, I'll just tell you. I have no problem bow hunting for black bear. Done it many, many times. And you do it in the evening, and I stay till dark. And you can see the image of them, and they're there. And getting out of that stand and walking out, and I have to walk past the bait and get out to where the vehicle is. I'll tell you what. No flashlight, it's not a problem. You know what? I'm okay with that. Not a real issue for me. But in the brightness of day, and you tell me there's a snake over there. By the time you turn around to look at me, I'm gone. I am not a serpent fan. I'm not. I've seen a few, briefly. I am not a fan. And to watch the way they move, and I'll tell you what really gets me. I'm sorry, I get the creeps when I'm just talking about this. Is when I see them in the water and they swim like that, I'm telling, go! I'm telling you, I'm sorry, I do. I get the chills, the, oh, okay, next thing that's amazing. I'm done with that. Let's go on. The way of a ship on the high seas. You look at the waves. I mean, have any of you ever watched, what's the name of that show, Brock or somebody? Yeah, Justin, dude, you know right where I'm going. What's the title of it? Deadliest Catch, which where they're all catching like crabs. Yeah, right, okay. I don't watch it. I'm like oh, every week I got to go, you know, record it if I can't make it. It's not like that. But I've seen it. And what these guys go through on the high seas on this ship to catch these crabs, I'm telling you, it is amazing. How does that boat, ship, sorry, there's the difference between a boat and a ship. Just a little tip, and I've not been on a cruise, but you don't go on a cruise ship and call it, wow, this is a big boat. You don't do that. That's a no-no. A ship on the high seas. It is amazing to me. These swells and how the water goes over the, you know, over the deck. I mean, it's amazing to me that first of all, that the ocean, the waters can do that 1 minute and the next minute glass, and that a ship can go out there and sail and maneuver in that kind of water. Those are the three things that were amazing to him. And he says, ah, then there's a fourth. I do not understand. The way of a man with a maiden. I'll tell you a story. I remember going off to university, or at that time it was known as North Central Bible College. That's what they called Bible colleges back in the day. They called them bridal colleges. In fact, this last Wednesday night, we had a missionary, and he was talking about, he got into his fourth year of bridal college, and he didn't have a girlfriend yet, and he was like, you know, there's only months left, I got to get a wife. I mean, I listened to him, and I'm glad he felt that way. Jim, my goal was to leave 4 years at North Central Bible College and leave single. That was my goal. And I made it. I made it. Barely, but I made it. So, my wife is not a Bible college student. So, I'm in college, and I'm heading out to my first church. I mean, I was so grateful to have a church that found out and did some research on me that I didn't even know they were doing, and they came and said, we want to talk with you. And I was like, great, I haven't even put out an application yet. I haven't even sought out a church yet. It was a good church, a large church. It was in Canada. It was right between Detroit and Toronto. There's a city there called London. At that time, it was about 300,000 people. Now it's about 500. It was a great church, and they somehow, through a bunch of events, found out, and I was in their neck of the woods doing a youth camp with an evangelist, and they came and talked to me, and at the end of the week, they offered me a position. And I said, well, I'll, you know, pray about it and get back to you. And obviously, I took that, and I remember going to making this move and going through all the paperwork and everything else of going across the border and working, and all of this preparation, not just to go there, but the preparation of college and the preparation of not just of your mind and your attitude, but, your heart being trying to make sure this is in the right place and carrying the call of God from when I was young that is bringing me through the years and these experiences. And now it's the real deal. And I remember showing up and, getting the few items I had into the apartment and walking to the church because I didn't have a car. And so I walked to the church and get there and have my stuff. And I'm putting the few things I have, the few books I have on a bookshelf so that looks like I did something in college. And I had this little office. This is a large church. I had a lot of pastors, and my office was, before I got there, was formerly the photocopy room. Okay, it was where the photocopier was and the paper, and they moved that out and moved it somewhere else and moved a little desk in there. And between one wall and the other, once they put the desk in there, I had just enough that, I could walk through, and I was skinnier then. Just enough to walk through and get to the other side. And there was a door and a couple of chairs and the little bookshelf and my desk and the chair behind it. And I don't know, there's something on the wall there. Yeah, cork board or something, I don't know. And day one, you're kind of setting stuff up and you're getting to meet everybody and all of that. And day two, I get back there. And you have to remember, I'm focused now. This is the first place. This is the first opportunity to be on a pastoral staff, and you want to just sink your teeth in, and yet there's part of you that says, I don't know what to do. It's all of these things, and it's getting started, and it's digging in and taking over something and trying to take it and move it and advance it that's already large. It wasn't starting out at a little country church, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it wasn't like trying to find three kids. It's 80 students already, and now you're not just doing junior high and high school, now you also have the college and career age, and they give you this portfolio, and you're just, and you know what, it's just like, Lord, and I'd say, Lord, you help me today, you keep me focused, make me wise, help me, help me to listen more than I speak, and just, help me to be faithful to the pastor. And just, I'm just all these right intentions and good, and don't let anything distract me. And on day two, I'm sitting behind my desk, and the office door is open, and our offices were kind of around a reception area. So our offices went around, and there's a reception area, and then a kind of a lounge area where people could sit and wait to meet with the different pastors and things like that. And so right from behind my desk, my door's open, and I can see out to some of the furniture in the waiting area. And now I'm focused. This is about God's call in my life. This is about ministry. This is about starting out right, laying the groundwork. I'm focused. And then I saw this. I saw that. Obviously, the style, you can tell it was in the 80s. I looked out and I saw this. You can leave it up there for a moment. I'm enjoying it. She's not here this morning, is she? I'm getting away with this picture because I'd be in trouble already. She doesn't know that I took this. You're looking at a dead man. I sat down, I saw this walk through, and then sit, and as she was walking through, I dropped my head. I said, Lord. Immediately I saw her, I said, Lord, no. I'm telling you, this is honest to God. This was my prayer. I said, Lord, no. I am here to be a youth pastor. I want a minister. I want you to advance. I'm going through the whole, I got to convince God why I'm there. And I lift my head from prayer, and she sat just out of view, but where I could still see her ankle. And her little floral flat that she was wearing. I remember these shoes. She came in, she was coming by because she's leaving for university. Okay, she was coming by to say, goodbye to who was her youth pastor. And he went to an associate position, and so it created this opportunity for them to hire someone to do the youth ministry. And that was me. When I remember looking up, and I remember seeing kind of the bottom part of her shin still, you know, she had her legs crossed because it was in the air. It was doing one of these things, you know. Well, it was. They couldn't see it. What are you laughing at? You know, where they sit there and they, you know, do one of these deals. Well, how do they do that? Yeah, that thing there, you know. And I'm watching the ankle work. And I'm telling you, it's working me. It is working me over. I mean, I don't like honor Valentine's Day, but it's Valentine's Day, so you're going to hear this. I don't understand. To this day, I'm telling you, I don't understand it. I mean, I know God created Adam and Eve, and, you know, they came together, and man and woman, and that's what God instituted, and I know that up here. But how in the world a man who's focused, he's just out of the gate. I mean, he's in the race now. It's what he's longed for. And then that shows up. And you're fighting just to keep your mind in the race. I mean, the gun just went off. I've only been in the office a day and part of a second day. The wise man says, what I don't understand. These three things are amazing. Fourth, I do not understand. The way of a man with a maiden. And here on Valentine's Day, I will confess to you, I'm that man. Go ahead and take the picture down. Did you see her hair all curly and everything? It was. That was all natural stuff. When she wears it straight now, she got it straight. It was all. And before children, it was like spiral, natural, just, you know, to kill for. Because she did some hair modeling. But it was. And I'll tell you, this is funny. When I finally brought her home to meet my parents, my dad was at the door, and the first thing he asked her, he said, "Do you own a brush?" I thought all my chances right there were shot. It was over. Oh, my dad. So began this admiration from a distance, because, you know, I'm a single youth pastor and I'm focused with this great distraction, which becomes a great addition. That woman has added so much to my life. And not just to my life, but she has added so much to my ministry. I have learned more by being married and married to her than my years in school, I'll tell you that. Through being married to her, God could expose me where I could learn who I need to become, where I've not arrived, where I'm on my way. And it all just began by her walking into a reception and waiting area. Never spoke to her, didn't speak to her. But later, I found out something. I got to let you in on the other half of this. She walked through and happened to see me. And she was going, "Who is that? That must be the new youth pastor." She purposely sat out of view so that I wouldn't catch her looking at me. And I didn't have to, you know, bob my foot and show my ankle, neither. I'll tell you this. You saw my 80s picture. The suit I'm wearing would be just draped on me. I was a... Stand up, son. I was that. Just a little more manly, that's all. I got to still pick on the young boy. So here is this wonderful thing that started. And I should throw this in there just as a little sub point. When I came to the place where I really wanted to ask her out and couldn't fight it much more, I mean, I wanted to ask her out right away, but, you know, a couple months later, I went to the pastor I reported to, and I said, I got to talk to you. I want you to know I'm here to minister and be a pastor on the staff. I want to do things right. But I got to tell you, there's this girl. And I told him her name, and of course he knew who she was. And I said, listen, I don't know how this works. I mean, I'm a pastor. She's away at university, but, you know, university's only an hour away. Oh, yes. That was great news to me. And so she'd be home periodically on weekends to go to church, that kind of thing. And I said, I don't know how this works. I'd really like to ask her out, but listen, before you answer, I will not ask her out. I'd like to say I won't give her another thought. I probably will, but I won't act on it. I won't. Listen, I need to know, is this okay, and how do you want me to handle this? You know, I mean, I answer to people, and this is all new to me, and I wasn't just going to think it's okay and jaunt out there on my own. And he said to me, Randy, I'll go talk to the pastor. So they went and had their conference, and he didn't make me wait long. The next day, he said, hey, I talked to pastor, and I want you to know that he said, hey, this is one of his most favorite girls in the church. You can go ahead and ask her out. He said, but here's the conditions. And he gave me conditions that were based upon his wisdom. And he said, you can take her out, but nobody can know about it. Because I don't want you to appear to the church that you're all of a sudden dateable. And now we got, you know, issues going on in the church. And so I asked her out, and we had to be very creative. I remember going, there were some other students at the university where she went, and I would, being the college and career pastor, I would drive over to this city, and I would visit all the students. I would visit her last. I'm smart. And the other students, this whole time, until later on when it was okay for them to find out, they were like, oh, I thought you were just coming to visit us all. I said I was. But they were like, oh, he's so great. He'd come and visit us. Then they realized, you know. Uh-huh. So we had to be real creative. I took her on midnight dates because that's when everybody else is home, you know, and we couldn't be out like in public and, you know, hanging out. I remember where she lived, where I lived, and where the pastor lived. So after Friday nights, we had youth service on Friday nights. After Friday night, I would take, you know, the pastor's son home. And, of course, she needed a ride now and then. So I would, oh, we all live in the same area. I'd drop off the pastor's kid first. You got that right. I remember that Friday night where I dropped the pastor's son off first, and pulled up outside her townhouse where she and her siblings and her mom lived, and pulled up by the curb, and we just talked and talked and talked. And I finally went, parked my car, and I was a happy boy, and I was starting to think about things. And later on, I found out that that next morning, Saturday morning, she woke up and she called her best friend and said, "I met the guy I'm going to marry." Well, I wasn't on that page and then, and I'm glad she didn't tell me that then. The way of a man with a maiden. It can be explained, you can hear the story, but I don't get it. It's just the way God has made things. And yet on this Valentine's Day, and I want to talk to us a little bit about marriage and about that kind of relationship. It's a wonderful thing, and it's wonderful. It's also a wonder. How it happens, how it starts. You can call it chemistry. You can call it whatever you want. But how that functions and how that is placed and created within us. And yet through time, you know, because we got married, and then, you know, a couple of years later, you came along, and 13 months later, Jessica came along, and 22 months later, Sydney is somewhere. She came along, and 15 months later, he came along. Four kids in 4.5 years. Then she said she was done. And yet I've watched in relationships and even have to fight it within my own. How I remember our first Valentine's Day because I took her out to eat in a city called Stratford. And there was this old, beautiful, beautiful old church, stone church, that somewhere in its history lost being a church, and a restaurant had it and called it the church. Exquisite place. And I remember going to eat and how Valentine's Day was about a nice dinner, flowers, a card that couldn't quite say it all, so you add. And jewelry. I remember. And how dates were, you know, you rush through a half an hour of mini golf so you can go make out for 2 hours. Oh, don't act pious with me. Don't act pious with me. Some of you skipped the mini golf. And how it becomes, after years, a card. And maybe like an electric can opener. An hour of Fox News in your living room and falling asleep in your Lazy Boy. And what happens between the wonder of how a man is with a maiden, and through time, it becomes this, whatever this is. And I know that things change, and I know that we do some changing. But there are some principles that we try to live by and some practice. And exercising both, adhering to the principles and carrying out the practice of this relationship and this marriage. And those of you, and I know not everyone here this morning is married. It's just great for us to hear it and take notes for when our time comes. And for some of you, when your time comes again. the principles of marriage, I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 22. Now, as we read this, for every man and every woman in this place, married and unmarried, I want you to just look at me for a second. I know you're trying to find the scripture in Ephesians 5, but I want you to look at me for a second. As I read this morning, and whether you follow along or you sit and just listen, I want you to hear this or read this like you've never been hurt, like you've never been robbed, like you've never been stolen from in your emotion and in a relationship. That's how I want you to read this morning. It's how I want you to hear it. I want to remove every obstacle, every apprehension. You have to remove and look at this as the pure word coming to us. It says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands, you ought to love your wives as your own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. This thing I do not understand, the way of a man with a maiden. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." See, these are the principles. These are the principles, the founding principles for marriage. That I'm supposed to love and sacrifice myself for my wife. And while we are together, I am to continue to encourage her and allow her to be the best and the holiest and the cleanest she can be, and help set parameters for it. That's my call. I can't argue with it. I can't explain it away. I can't try to justify it. I can't make it more than what it is. I can't make it less than what it is. That is simply God's word and command and instruction and principle to me. To my wife, she's supposed to submit to me as to the Lord. And we have issues with that. And I'll tell you what, if we've been hurt somewhere, we've observed something somewhere, something has happened where we're suspicious, we have challenges doing that. And you can say it's easy for me as a man, as a husband, to stand up here and do that, as if I don't have to do that. I got to tell you something. I submit to leaders in my life, and ultimately I submit to the Lord. And he knows all things. He knows where outwardly I might do an action, but inwardly I'm not submitted to him. See, we can follow through on somebody's command or instruction, and we can do it, but it doesn't mean we're submissive. Submissive has to do with an attitude. As you look at the church, do you believe the church is supposed to be submitted to Jesus? I'm going to just ask you that question. The parallel of the church. Is the church supposed to be submitted to the Lord Jesus or not? Or is the church supposed to kind of do their own thing when they want to do their own thing? I'm asking you. If you're a believer in this place, you know the answer is that we are to be submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. We as the church, the bride. If we believe in that principle, then we have to believe in the principle of marriage as a parallel to the church and Christ. That's not chauvinistic. That's not just a culture thing. That's a principle thing. It's a principle thing. Now, I want you to understand, it does not mean that the wife cannot speak what's on her mind. This does not mean that you are just somebody who gets kicked to the curb, you can be ignored, your opinion doesn't matter. Because if the man is going to love you like Christ, because we know as the church, Christ loves us, right? He shows up here. He pours out grace on us. He pours out mercy on us. He forgives us. He empowers us. He leads us, for he is the head. And without him, well, we're lost. So we can argue and we can fight and you can get mad, men and women alike. But I'm just telling you, these are the principles, the founding principles of marriage. Now, the practice of marriage, the things that cause it to work day in and day out, the things that cause it to work like they worked in the beginning when you first saw each other, said hi to each other, went on a date and had a great time together, and your relationship grew and it developed and you got married. The practice of what made that work, some of those practices have been lost. I know I'm not 18 anymore, and frankly, I really don't want a mini golf. And if I'm going to kiss my wife, I really am not interested in doing it in the car. But the practice of the marriage, you did things to win her. I did things to win her. Things that I found out she liked. You bet. Because I wanted her to like me. I wanted her to love me. I wanted her to recognize there is nobody else for you as good as I am. That's what I want her to think. I know it's not true, but I want her to think that. I want her to know it, and I got to prove it. You did the same thing. And you'd get ready for that date, ma'am, and you'd be in that bathroom for a long time. And if it was a bad hair day, you started over. And don't kid me, I got daughters, man. I know how many outfits you try on before you go out. You're never happy with the thing you put on first. Until you put on so many, you forgot that was first, and that's what you walked out with. Don't kid me. Sir, you used to shower and you'd slap on some of that. So whatever you lacked in appearance, you made up in fragrance. I know all about it. Let her close her eyes and smell. Whatever. The practice of these things, you'd go out of your way. It was nothing to run across town. It was nothing to sit in traffic. It was nothing to spend your last dollar. You didn't care. All you cared about was this woman or this man. What causes us to do that? Oh, the ways of a man with a maiden, I don't understand it. We become Christians. We think we can think we're insulated from the havocs of other marriages, and it's not true. I'm going to tell you something. That which you use to win the other person and grow and develop and base your relationship on, I got to tell you something. If those things all fade away, and hopefully we've added to the repertoire, but if all the, because even more meaningful things have developed in relationship through time, but if we forget some of the practices of the early things, I'm going to tell you something. It's going to be lost. You go from flowers and candy and all that stuff to, and you wonder, how in the world did Valentine's Day ever get to the point where, you know, it's this gift. You wonder, and you think, it's been so long, or it's what we've settled into. I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, we need a revival in our spiritual walk, but we need a revival in our relationships, including our marriages. And we need to be revived again with the principles of God and with the practice. Listen, don't complain. Listen, don't complain about him or about her, okay? And what they like and what they want. You knew that at the beginning. Some of these things came out because it's what you did for each other. And now, over the same thing, you start to complain. I got news for you. You brought it home. You feed it. You knew he liked holding hands and kissing you a lot. Well, now it's like, No. You brought that home. You feed it. You knew she liked to go for walks. You knew she liked surprises. You knew that she liked to talk. You brought it home. You feed it. You maintain it. You keep doing it. So that Valentine's Day and other days and regular days don't become what they are. We get the business of marriage down pretty good, but we have forgot about the pleasure of marriage. Oh, you know what it is to live in the same house, and you might know what it is to do the finances together, and you might know what it is to parent together. And that's the business. And who fills the car with gas, and who does the vacuuming, and who does this, and who does that. That's the business of marriage. And you got to have the business of marriage. But in the middle of it all, we forgot about the pleasure of marriage. It's lost, and we need to rediscover it. I tell you, when the kids came along, life changed. And with 4 and 4.5 years, I'm just telling you, we were exhausted. We were exhausted. I'm just telling you, we were exhausted. Did I mention we were exhausted? I'll tell you how tired we became. I mean, because we didn't even have one in kindergarten yet when we had 4 at home. No twins or nothing. You heard the age gaps earlier. And it's not a complaint. Man, we didn't resent it 1 minute, not at all, but we were tired. I remember this guy right here. We felt like such lousy parents, and we would never tell anybody this. Now we can. I mean, we were all about bathing and putting their little nighties on. Not him. He wore regular jammies, you know. We made sure it had Spider-Man on it or something, you know. But I'm going to tell you, we're so tired sometimes in the evening, and I'm running with youth ministry, and you know youth ministry is, you know, not just during the day, it's like evenings, and it's nights, and it's, and she's home with 4 children, and she, you know, I mean, no conversation with adult during the day. I mean, it's all with little kids, it's, you know, all, I mean, just in the demands of keeping the house up and all these kind of things. You know, by the way, I'd help once in a while, like empty the dishwasher, like I was, you know, ooh, Tarzan. Yeah, okay, Tarzan, grab that one and change the diaper. We'd go to bed at night. We'd have the 3 girls tucked in, and he was a little bit of a night owl, and he's a toddler. I'm going to tell you how bad of parents we were. we would put in Land Before Time videos. Do you remember those? They made like 20,000 of them. They were all two-hour movies or whatever, but they made like bunches of them. We made sure we bought those. And they'd play all day and do all that stuff, and everything was good at home. Don't get me wrong. We were so tired. We would set him up on the couch at night. Now, he has a bed, and he has a bedroom with his pillow and his kiki. That was his blanket. Isn't that cute? We don't call it that anymore. And we would put the video in, the TV, and start Land Before Time. And he would lay at the other end, and he would have his pillow, and he'd lay there and he had his kiki. And then we had a chair up next to him where he could set his sippy cup, and on his chest was a bowl of chips. And we would walk out of the living room and say, "We love you, son. Good night." He would barely glance at us and he'd say, "Good night." And we'd make our way up the stairs. Or that one was down the hall. We had different houses. Down the hall, and I would just look at you like, "If my parents only knew." We were just, you know, what are you going to do? So he wasn't neglected. I mean, listen, I understand that stage of life. We've not forgotten it. But you know what? In the middle of all that, the two of you can't get lost. That's the business. Don't forget about the pleasure of marriage. You've heard me say it before, do the things that you did at the beginning. And some of you say, you know, we weren't Christians then. And how we met, well, isn't it a glorious story. We were, you know, we met in a bar, and one of us was drunk and one of us kind of was, if I remember right. Or we went dancing, and we got involved sexually. And, you know, it wasn't what we call a great start for Christians. And we've asked forgiveness, and God has forgiven us. So what you do is you take all of that and you chalk it up as bad because it was sinful and it led to wrong things. And now you're married. And you look back at that, and I'll tell you what, here's the bait. You look back on some of what you did together, and certainly it was wrong and outside the bounds of Scripture. You opened up some things in your life outside of God's design. And I watch Christian people get a little on the prudish side because they don't want to, they chalk all that up as it's carnal desires and it's sinful and it's wrong. I'm going to tell you something. That's where we deceive ourselves. And I'm not suggesting to you that you should go to the bars and you should get drunk. No, 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 no. But you've thrown everything out. But I got to remind you of something. In the middle of all that junk, there were some things that brought you together. And those are the things that you got to take out and that you got to maintain and still do together, where you still flirted and you still laughed and you still listened and you still held hands. You still like looking up at the stars. See, not all of that was sinful. There were certainly things outside of God's design, but we tend to throw it all out. And now we got to say, anything that has to do with any of that, I don't want anything to do with. I'm a Christian now. And you chalk it all up as carnal desires. I got news for you. There are some things there that worked for the two of you. No, it wasn't the booze. No, it wasn't the places you went. But there is something that happened for the two of you. And you got to rediscover what they were. And we got to pull them out. And we got to understand that those are the practices and maybe some of the pleasures of marriage. Listen, being a Christian is not all business. There's a lot of pleasure with being a Christian. My prayer times with the Lord, they can't be all business. Some of my prayer times with the Lord have a lot to do with pleasure and how I feel about Him and how I think about Him and how I desire Him. And I'll tell you what, He likes it. And how I, what I dream about, what I think about in His presence that I know He knows. The time where I want to shut everything else off and leave the office and leave home and just go be with Him. Not just for business, not just prayer about the church, not just praying for more miracles, not just praying for growth, not just all these other, just me and Him. You see, there's pleasure in the Christian life. There's pleasure of relationship. God likes it when I tell Him things that I feel about Him. And I'm a man's man, and you can say whatever you want, but there are things I feel about Him. And I tell Him. There are things that I feel about my son, and he's going to be a man's man. And there's things I feel about him, but I tell Him. Not just my girls. There's pleasure in relationship. And we got to discover it again in our marriages, not just the business. And there are stages of life, I understand. And we go through them. But if we just coast and we don't take control of it, we're going to lose it. You've heard me say this before. It's a terrible thing to be lonely when you're married. When you're single, you expect to be lonely. But when you stood and said your vows, whether it was in front of the preacher and God or whether it was in front of God and the justice of the peace, doesn't matter. You did not sign up to say, yeah, I'm going to marry you so I can be lonely. And granted, when we were 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever, early years, granted, we were looking for something a little different than we may be looking at now at the stage of life we are. But some of the same practices still work. It's still what thrills our soul. I'll tell you what, there are days that I love when I feel like a teenager and I feel young. I love it. I do, I love it. I still have those days. I mean, I don't look it, I know, and I don't recover. You know, I wake up sore, but there's days I love when I feel young. Oh, listen, I still feel great. I still feel great when Sue would flirt with me. Oh, yeah. That's, you're hearing the preacher say it. Pastors feel like that? Oh, gee, oh, oh. Real ones do. Stuffed shirts don't. But this is about real life and real institutions that God brought. It's about growing in faith and growing in our relationships. And we got to rediscover something. And maybe this morning on this Valentine's Day Sunday, a little light goes on. It says, you know what? I need to find out again what thrills her. I need to start doing again what I know thrills him. We got to enter it and do it again like we haven't been hurt. Because hurt, we usually have fear. And fear causes apprehension. And fear causes us to protect something. And now we set up a boundary of how much we'll ever be pleased, how much we'll ever experience. And it's always too little in comparison to what God has for us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.